welcome the visitors and hope you can come and see us again sometime. This is the concluding lesson, or the second part of the last lesson in the Victory in Jesus series. Now, we sung Faith is the Victory by our song before the lesson. And 1 John 5:4 tells us that our faith is what overcomes the world, and that faith in Him. And in these lessons, the 1-2 punch of fear and doubt, this is part two, dealing with fear. And what we're looking at is those things that keep us from living our lives fully for God and Jesus and giving our hearts over so we can live a life victorious in Him. There's an old fellow that everyone around town called Shaky because he was always nervous and scared. Well, old Shaky went to a psychiatrist. He said, "Doc, I've got trouble. Every time I get into bed, I think there's somebody underneath it. Then, when I get under the bed, I think there's somebody on top of it. Doc, you got to help me. I'm going crazy." He said, "Just put yourself in my hands for 2 years, come to me 3 times a week, and I'll cure you of your fears." Well, Shaky said, "Well, how much do you charge?" The psychiatrist said, $100 a visit. "That's awfully expensive, Doc. Let me sleep on it and I'll get back to you," he said. 6 months later, the doctor ran across Shaky and he asked him, "Why didn't you ever come see me again? For $100 a visit? No way," he said. "I had a friend who cured me for $10. "How do you figure that?" asked the psychiatrist. "He told me to cut the legs off my bed." You know, sometimes the simplest answer is the right answer. Simple faith in Christ can rid us of our fears in life, the things that trouble us. In preparing for His imminent arrest, trial, and crucifixion, Jesus sought to reassure them by expressing His own confidence. He said in John 16:32, "Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because my Father is with me." Though troubling days were ahead for Jesus, though he was going to have to suffer, as he did, he too could have peace. He overcame those things. In John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now, as we talked about weeks before, they can't show you Christ's body. They couldn't show the disciples back then. Now, all these disciples scattered like so many roaches when you turn on the light when Jesus was arrested. Peter denied him 3 times. Yet, somehow, they found the courage, and on the day of Pentecost, they rose up to these men who had crucified Jesus and rebuked them for what they had done and convicted them of what they had done to Jesus. So, where did that confidence come from? And we know that they could have easily squashed that movement if they could have produced the body of Jesus or anything like that. But they couldn't. Jesus demonstrated through His death and resurrection that He had indeed overcome the world, even death itself. And now such victory is offered to you and me. To those who believe, their faith can be the victory to overcome the world. 1 John 5:4-5. As we have already seen, faith in Jesus helps us in overcoming sin, anxiety, our boredom, our depression, our despair, and our discomfort, the uncertainty of life. Through His actions, past and present, and through His teaching, Jesus helps those who believe overcome the world. But like someone who's sitting there and who has an injury, if they don't get the medical treatment that might be right next to them, they're not going to get better. And if we don't apply the ointment of the Word of God and tell God what our problems are, then we too are not going to be as fully faithful as we should be. Not all fear is harmful, though. There's a place in the heart of a Christian for the right kind of fear. Jesus taught us whom to fear in Matthew 10:28. where she's telling us to have that reverential fear, not that abject fear that we might feel of something else, but that reverential fear that we have of God. Paul also wrote of the need for fear and trembling. 2 Corinthians 7:1. We should work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We talked about in the book of Jude in class this morning how important it is to follow God and follow His Word. That we shouldn't change it, but that we should take an honest look, even if it hurts us, and apply it in our lives. That's working out your salvation with fear and trembling, because you respect that Word and you respect God and you want to follow God. And you want to follow God because He loves us and He wants to get us to heaven. And He's given us a plan. So we have to understand fear. Fear, according to dictionary, is a feeling of agitation and anxiety caused by the presence of or imminence of danger. Extreme reverence or awe is towards the supreme power. So again, there's those two different fears. One fear is just that fear, like we talked about in class, of someone who might believe that maybe there's a God. So I'm going to come and I'm going to sit in a pew and I'm going to make the check marks off that, you know, kind of like the time clock at work. You know, I can show you how many hours I'm here, so pay me for it. God doesn't want that. God is like our loved ones that we cherish to see, that we want to hear from, that we want to talk to. That's what God wants from us. But we have to have reverence of Him. Now, one fear is wrong. The fear of other things that can come against us if we trust God. The other fear is the fear of God. And there are numerous verses that tell us about that. And how many times when they came in the presence of God or whom they thought was their Lord, that they fell down in reverential fear. You won't find too many people do that today, to respect and fear God. The right fear is the fear of losing God. A man named Eckhart said that. The right fear is the fear of losing God. That's the only thing that we should fear in our lives. Of losing God. Of falling away from Him. Of losing that salvation we've gotten a hold of. The wrong kinds of fear are fears that are groundless. Many social and specific phobias come into that realm there. But the most common fears are speaking before a group. It's topophobia, fear of heights, acrophobia, insects and bugs, entomophobia, financial problems, tetraphobia, deep water, it's bathophobia, disease, bathophobia, death, phantotophobia, flying is aerophobia, loneliness is monophobia, fear of dogs is fear of xenophobia, driving or riding is in a car is octophobia. And fear of the dark is nyctophobia. And the list goes on and on. But fear can cripple us. And fear can cripple our faith today. Fear can make problems seem bigger than they really are. An old German proverb says, fear makes the wolf bigger than it is. Another one is, fear makes man believe the worst. And we've all been in those situations where we didn't know if something was wrong. See, we got a little bit of entomophobia going on right now. But fear, when it's misplaced, paralyzes us and prevents us from being what we can be to God. With exaggerated fears of problems we face, we think they're overwhelming. But nothing with God is overwhelming. Fear that prevents us from enjoying the blessings we have. The old Spanish proverb is, he who fears death cannot enjoy life. Life is here to be enjoyed. And when we go on from this earth, if we're in the fold of God, if we love God and we follow Him, then that's not the final sleep, but the great awakening on eternity. A man named Horace in 65 BC said, who lives in fear will never be a free man. Will never be free to experience the joy that there is in being a Christian unless we free ourselves from our fear of faith. Fear that hinders our ability to be of service to God. Fear is the sand in the machinery of life, someone once said. Fear of people, fear of failure often hinders Christians in their own service to God. Secondly, faith in Jesus helps us to overcome fear. Jesus taught that fear is indicative of little faith. In Matthew 8, when his disciples were fearful in a storm, when Peter faltered as he went to Jesus walking on the water. And we studied that a few weeks back, that Peter was the only one who tried. But once he got out there, he took his eyes off of Jesus, and what happened? He sunk. When we take our eyes off of God and Jesus, when we don't trust Him each and every step of the way, we're going to sink like Peter does. As Jesus taught them not to have fear or anxieties about the necessities of life in Luke 12, 27 through 32. Don't worry about what's going to come next. But God is going to provide for you. If God provides for the little sparrows out there, if God provides for all the animals out there, then He's certainly going to provide for the children that He loves, and that is us. Jesus addresses our worst fears, the fear of what we might face in this life. Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew 28, 20. With such a promise, we can take courage, as Joshua, when he was encouraged in Joshua 1, 9. We can take courage if we really believe in God and have faith. He will take care of us. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6 says, with the Lord on our side, what can man do? Jesus told us, don't fear the one that can take our life, but fear the one that can take your soul away. That's the worst thing that can happen to us, is when we pass on from this earth. And Jesus addressed that in His sacrifice. His own victory over death frees us from that fear in Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Paul could face death in Philippians 1, 21 and 23 without worry. The fear of what comes after death, that great mystery that people who don't believe in God wonder about. And Jesus comforted His disciples in John 14, 1 through 3 about those things that were to come and not to fear at all. Paul could look forward to what he would receive in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. Notice that it was because he had kept the faith. Because he kept the faith, because he was victorious in all these things, he anticipated his reward. When we overcome these fears through faith in Jesus, other fears would seem petty. The last thing I want to leave you with in this series and today is what I think is the worst fear of all. The fear that keeps us from turning over our lives to Christ. The fear that keeps us from having a strong faith. We fear someone's going to ridicule us for our decision. We fear that things are going to change. We fear that if we give our lives to Christ, we'll be compelled to do things that we don't want to do now. If you give your life to Christ, you'll not be dragged kicking and screaming into doing anything. But by growth and knowledge of the love God has for us, manifested through Christ, we begin to ache and groan in our spirit to worship and follow God. And the only thing I could come up to best illustrate this, I grew up in kind of that generation where we first had the TVs and stuff, and we grew up with TVs. And I remember being younger and watching cartoons on Saturday morning, and watching the Bugs Bunny and the Roadrunner and Foghorn Leghorn and Yosemite Sam and all that. And I thought to myself, and I looked at the adults had no interest in. And I just thought that was the greatest thing, was to get up on Saturday morning and watch those things. And I thought, someday I might not like him anymore. And I thought that was so terrible, that someday I might not like to watch cartoons anymore. But you know what? I never even noticed it happening. You grow up, you become a teenager, you start doing things with friends and going out and planning for your future. Next thing you know, hey, I haven't watched cartoons in years. Not that they were bad, not that they weren't good, but faith causes us to change. And we're not brought in forcibly to give of our means to help the church. We're not forced to come into this building. God does not force us to do anything. He will judge those who desire not to be with Him. But in this life, He does not force us to do anything. And that's the only example I could come up with to try to illustrate how faith in God takes over your life. And pretty soon, you're wanting more and more to read His Word. You're wanting to study more. And every time you read the Bible, something else jumps out at you. Then Sharon was talking, just playing the Bible on cassettes, CDs, or even reading the Bible when you study. And you know, you may have read it several times, but with your mind and the knowledge you have now, there's this verse that just jumps out at you and grabs you. And wow, you know, I never understood it that way, or I really got some questions about this I never had before. And as you talk to God more and more, and you start to, if you're in a hurry one day and you take off and says, oh, I forgot to pray and stuff like that, and of course, you can pray in your car. It's hands-free, so you won't get in trouble in any school zones or in New York, anything. You can pray anywhere, and I encourage you. But when we don't pray, we miss that. It's almost like, I forgot to call Mom today and see how she was doing. Or call your son or daughter in college or living away and ask how they are and the grandkids. We long and we yearn for that faith. Don't avoid faith because of fear of what it might make you do someday. Because you know what? When it happens, you'll never notice it. You'll change, you'll grow, and you'll walk closer to God. Don't worry about what you'll be doing tomorrow if you turn your life over to Christ today. If you make up your mind to follow Christ, really follow Him, you don't have to worry about what you're going to do tomorrow. Because true faith will make your heart ache to know Christ. You won't fear what faith will compel you to do. Faith will be your victory over this world, and all the fear that this world breeds will not be in you. Where there is faith, fear cannot abide. Harry Emerson posed it, contrasted fear and faith. He said, fear imprisons, faith liberates. Fear paralyzes, faith empowers. Fear disheartens, faith encourages. Fear sickens, faith heals. If anyone gives us reason to have faith in God, it is Jesus. Through His signs and wonders, through what He does through us, through His own resurrection from the dead, proclaiming Him to be the Son of God, through the words of His inspired apostles, whose overwhelming testimony gives us reason to believe in Christ and what Jesus taught. In Run with the Horses, Eugene Peterson tells how he saw a family of birds teaching their young to fly. Three young swallows were perched on a dead branch that stretched out over the lake. One adult swallow got alongside the chicks and started shoving them out towards the end of the branch, pushing, pushing, pushing. The end one fell off. Somewhere between the branch and the water, 4 feet below, the wings started working, and the fledgling was off on his own. Then the second. The third was not to be bullied. The last possible moment, his grip on that branch loosened just enough that he swung downward, then tightened again, hanging upside down from the branch like a bat. Bulldog tenacity. He was not going to get off that branch. The parent, without any kind of sentiment, he pecked at the desperately clinging talons until it was more painful for the poor chick to hang on than to risk the insecurities of flying. In that moment, that bird fell, and that bird took off, and he flew. Is there anything more beautiful than a bird in flight? You know, you see them hop around the parking lots as they scavenge for food, and they kind of look a little goofy hopping around like they do. Birds were meant to fly, and birds were meant to soar. And Christians were meant to let go of this world, not cling to it, but soar with God. When we get rid of our fears, and especially our fear of what God might, and faith might cause us to do in our lives, that we too can soar just as anyone ever has. I don't know what your needs are today.